from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Lumberyard makes loading up on big savings easy. Plus, get free estimates fast using our deck and fence design programs in store or on Menards.com. Start planning your outdoor lumber projects today at Menards and save big money.
Save big money at Menards.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station.
The Score!
Play ball!
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
He hits it right out to right. A grand slam. Gavin Sheets, my man. He blows it open here in the fifth inning, clearing the bases as the Sox take a 5-1 lead in the fifth. Bases juice, two outs. He got him swinging. Ball game. And the White Sox win it 6-1. They've won 2 of 3 from the Red Sox. And the fourth game in this series will be tomorrow.
Friedel drives one in the air, deep right field. It's going to leave the yard. A 2-run homer for Friedel. And the Reds have taken a 3-1 lead. Ground ball to first, fielded by Steer, unassisted play, ball game is over. Tauchman bounces out. Swanson was running with the pitch. Tauchman kind of got jammed. Hit a ground ball to first, routine play for Spencer Steer. He just stepped on the bag. And that is the end of the ball game, and the Reds have won 3 in a row in this series.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Ba-ba, sing it, ba-da-ba-ba, ba-ba, ba-da-ba-ba, you know you want to. It's all right. You know why? Because it's early. It's early. It is the 9th of June. It's 9 in the morning. It's going to be a beautiful day. A wonderful day. I refuse to give in to the opportunity that baseball negativity provides. I'm not going to do it. You can try all morning long. You can try to greet me with certain, I don't know what you'd call them, realities, whatever. It's a lovely, lovely day. We have interesting baseball teams, and I listened to two different radio calls yesterday. Do you know how blessed we are with incredible radio booths? My goodness. Darren Jackson and Len Casper sounding absolutely amazing yesterday. Was with them for the bulk of that enormous inning, highlighted by the Gavin Sheets grand slam, as the White Sox have won 2 in a row. White Sox have won 2 in a row. The bats showed up yesterday. Garrett Crochet was absolutely brilliant the other night. Eric Fetty was on the radio station on Friday. Good vibes, babe. Okay? I mean, there's so many things that are worthwhile and interesting about even the Cubs. Sean, don't tell me the Cubs are in fourth place. Don't share that with me. Don't make me look at the standings and see that they're in fourth place in the National League Central with a run differential of minus 16, that they've lost 3 in a row. What, that it's now, how many have they lost to the Reds? They've lost 5 out of 6 to the Reds?
That's correct.
That's fine.
Everything's okay. It's early, man. It is early. Plus, nobody's been hit on the hand in at least one day.
Hey, look at that. It's up on the board.
So Michael Bush wasn't hit on the hand, and
I
then he goes
he
in
wasn't.
There?
I don't know.
But Nico, they didn't think he was hit on the hand, but then he was hit on the hand, and now he's got a fractured hand. Our guy, man, it's going to be on the injured list. Or not, apparently. It's a very odd thing. Look, Sean, fine. Let's hear Craig Counsell talking about Seiya Suzuki and Nico Horner on the injured list, possibly, or at least an update on those two guys.
Seiya's just kind of day to day. He's just sore today. I think pretty optimistic that he'll be back in a day or two here, and possibly even usable today. Nico has a small fracture in the metacarpal. We've got a couple doctor's opinions, and both are comfortable with him continuing to play when the pain and swelling subsides. So I think right now we have some question whether that's kind of in a 10-day mark or whether we just kind of play this day by day.
All right, so day by day for Nico, he can't make it worse. Seiya might be back in a day or two. All right, let's see. What can I lean on for positivity here? That caller last week was good. There was a caller last week who really, tried to tell me that it's a long season. And I need to lean on that wisdom, I think.
Oh. So tired of you bad-mouthing my team.
Yeah, she was tired of me bad-mouthing her team. I understand. I would also be tired of that. Look, it's here's what happened. Yesterday, Ben Brown and Jordan Wicks, they piggybacked. Did you guys see that? Ben Brown went 4, Jordan Wicks went 3 1/3. I've been wanting that kind of creativity from the manager, from the big-time manager. Been wanting that kind of stuff. Where's the creativity been and doing some of that stuff? We've only seen the opener like once, and only a little bit of a bullpen game. Now they got some extra starters here. So Ben Brown and Jordan Wicks with the piggyback. I like it. Yeah, the problem is the offense, people. The problem is the Cubs' offense. It's too bad because I was right there. I was in the positivity of the piggyback, which I thought was just fine. I mean, you give up 4 runs, you should be able to score 5. Theoretically, one would assume that you can do that kind of thing. But no. I mean, last 30 days, the Cubs' offense is 27th out of 30 with an OPS of 642. Is that too negative?
Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
We're going to get there.
Yeah, okay. All right. She thinks we're going to get there. That would be nice. It's getting harder and harder to believe, isn't it? It really is. Because there's a lot of issues piling up. There's issues in all directions. But I can do it, man. I can live in the positivity. I can live in the good vibes, babe. There's an off day tomorrow. It's an off day. For the Cubs tomorrow. They will not lose tomorrow. Today, we'll see what the lineups are when Shota Imanaga goes against. Is it Lodolo again today? Is that how it works out here?
I believe it's Frankie Montas.
Oh, it's today. Frankie Montas today. Okay, good. The one-time White Sox prospect, Frankie Montas. No, I need to go to the White Sox for positivity.
Hell yeah.
That's right. This yesterday with the big offensive explosion and Crochet the other night, there's even a lovely little tongue-in-cheek campaign, which is kind of fun, about Martin Maldonado to the All-Star game. In fact, the broadcast mentioned it yesterday.
As that movement to vote Martin Maldonado to become a starting catcher into the All-Star game continues to pick up steam.
Yeah, I think we're going to need that whole steam engine to get there, though, but it's a good thought. I want to see everybody vote as many times as they can for the White Sox.
It's a bit, John. It's a bit. He talked about the defense of Martin Maldonado and how that was impressive. The online campaign that the guys over at Sox Machine, I think it's Patrick Nolan, it's P. Knowles who started it. It is a bit. It is a tongue-in-cheek all-star nomination to thumb the nose at ownership and Chris Getz for fielding a team that is quite this bad. And sadly, somehow the broadcast didn't get that.
All right, I love inside jokes. Love to be a part of one someday.
Oh, man. That's my fault. That's my fault. I drifted again. I drifted over towards the negativity. Bring me back. Bring me back.
Enjoy the journey.
Thank you.
Enjoy the ride.
It is indeed a journey and a ride. As I mentioned, I was with the radio calls for both the White Sox and the Cubs yesterday. There was a great, great rally that was super fun in the Cubs' eighth inning. And you heard the Hall of Fame broadcaster, the king himself, you heard Pat Hughes rise to the moment as he realized, yeah, boy, this team has been bad. And you could hear it in the way that he and Ron Coomer and Zach Zabin talked through the games. This team has been rough. It's been awkward. It's been problematic. But it's baseball, so things can happen. All of a sudden, Bodie is on, and then there's a double, and his men at second and third. And here comes Pete Crow Armstrong to pinch hit. And Pat is vividly telling us what's going on. David Bodie cheering for PCA from third base, trying to get him going. And it's like anything can be possible. And I felt this wonderful emotional swing from Pat as the Cubs had an absolute chance. And they scored one run and ended the eighth down 4-3. And then another rally in the ninth. And Pat's voice rose and the emotional journey was there, and things were starting to come together. And then, unfortunately, that one fell short on a fly ball, and then the Cubs lost, and now it's 5 out of 6 to the Cincinnati Reds, and they're in fourth place in the division. And a lot of you are in a spot where you're feeling like you were sold a bill of goods. I've heard it constantly. I have seen it. That you were sold a bill of goods, that you were told that the team was good enough and that the manager was going to put them over the hump. And that is not what has happened. And you're left wondering whether the team is good enough or not. And they feel, the whole thing feels a little no man's landish, if you will, because there are good prospects, but some of them are not ready to come up. You do have a representative MLB payroll, so it's not like you can add a huge pile here at the deadline. Some more money will be coming off the books at the end of the year, so maybe you'll do some in free agency. But what about this season when you were told it was absolutely a go-for-it contention season? And some sad and difficult truths have been revealed, you know, is what it seems like, but it is early. It is early. Look, Cody Bellinger with a couple of hits yesterday. That dude still has terrific bat control. Maybe you're not going to get as much pop as you got last year as teams know to fire heat at the man because it's hard to turn that around. But he uses the bat control and gets line drive after line drive after line drive. And I'm cool with that. Ian Happ has resurfaced after a terrible start that went on for a long time. Deep fly balls every once in a while, full-on homers, obviously, in recent weeks. I think he looks pretty darn good at the plate overall. Dansby Swanson had 3 hits yesterday. And one of our guests later on, Eno Saris from The Athletic, says that Dansby is one of those guys who should not change his approach. He wrote about 5 different people in baseball who are struggling, but should not change the way they're going about their business. We'll talk about that with Eno. Seiya Suzuki, his superstardom is theoretical, and it's been expected that he would be the Cubs' best player, but it just hasn't shown up. It just has not shown up with frequency. Yan Gomes is hitting the ball very well now, all of a sudden, making a lot of good contact. Big double yesterday to drive in a run. But Miguel Amaya still plays a lot, and we're still waiting on him to do something offensively. It is tough. All these side indicators last year said the Cubs were better than their record was, that they were better than their production was. That's the stuff that the front office read, that a lot of us saw, that a lot of us believed in. And I can't write the book on this thing. You may find my positivity to be tongue-in-cheek, but really, it is early. Look at the last 2 Phillies seasons when they turned everything around, either in the middle of June or late June. Obviously, you can go back 3 years and look at when the Braves won the World Series and how they were under 500 at the break. They were under 500 at the end of July. Things do turn around. Some of the players that have been bad are not this bad. Some of them are. They're going to need to make some moves aggressively with the minors. And we'll see who that is, especially if Nico's hurt. Maybe it's Luis Vasquez to play defense. It's not going to be Nick Madrigal because he got hit in the hand this
Fractured
week.
Fractured his hand, too. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, three different times Cubs have been hit in the hands. Well, two, if you think Michael Bush was faking it yesterday. But maybe it's going to be B.J. Murray. Not hitting a ton, but did have a walk-off. Is super interesting as a profile. And is, you know, certainly would give a jolt. But maybe it's going to be Matt Shaw. Maybe it's going to be Owen Casey. I don't know. It's got to be somebody, and it's got to be somebody pretty soon. And they will make a deal at the deadline as well. There could be some bullpen pieces coming up. It is early, and it sucks the way it feels right now. But the baseball gods will mess with you in a good way and a bad way, too. And I'm not ready to write the book. Top of the hour, Will Fleming will join us. He's the Red Sox play-by-play man on radio station WEEI. He's going to come by in studio, as a matter of fact, on his way to the ballpark. We'll talk about Red Sox and White Sox with Will. And we will talk to Eno Saris in the 11 o'clock hour. A truly great portion of an interview with Chip Carey that I did on the PBP, Voices of Baseball. Stuff about his dad, stuff about his grandfather in advance of Father's Day. Thought we'd play it this week because we've got a short show next week. Just a two-hour show as the Cubs play early next week. Right now, we throw open the phone lines to you. The Cub fan, are you going to help me fend off as I stand here at the edge of negativity? You're going to help me or not? And you, the White Sox fan, you're going to live in this positive moment. Two wins in a row. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. The broadcast is not completed without your participation. So hop on in and join us on the Score Listener Line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. One other item before we break. Congratulations to the Chicago Red Stars and the fans of the Red Stars who took over Wrigley Field yesterday, presented by Gallagher, and sold it out. 35,000 fans at Wrigley for the Red Stars game, for the other Swanson, and they officially broke the NWSL attendance record.
That's, it was wild in Wrigleyville. I thought the Cubs were at home for a second. Yeah. It was really busy down there.
That is pretty damn cool. So congrats to the Red Stars and everyone involved with that. That is pretty cool. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. It speaks with you here on Hit and Run. Also, when we come back, I have an admission and a reversal on a White Sox trade target. Time to talk about that as well. Keep it right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Oh. So tired of you bad-mouthing my team.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
2-1 the count on Luis Robert Jr. Well hit, straightaway center. Durant going back, looking up. It is gone! Luis Robert Jr. with the fireworks here in the first inning. His fourth of the year. And the White Sox get on the board first, 1-0.
Luis Robert Jr. is back and playing and hitting bombs for the White Sox. It is Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, here with you on a Sunday morning. Phone lines are open if you want to hop in and deal with where we are with these baseball teams. Trade deadline pending at the end of July. We're a little less than 8 weeks. I guess we're about 7 weeks and a couple of days from the trade deadline. Plenty of time for things to crystallize, but also opportunities to go out and be a little aggressive on the early side. Luis Arraez, a grab by the Padres, looking like he has a very good shot of going out and winning what would be, what, a third batting title in a row? Would be absolutely unbelievable. They are very much rumored to be in on Garrett Crochet. A lot of teams asking about Garrett Crochet, apparently, from the White Sox. I've been on record, and will stay on record. I don't like the idea of trading Garrett Crochet. You have an ace. Folks, that's an ace. And I'd be shocked if you get value of consequence, certainly from San Diego, a farm system you've already picked clean, that others have picked clean already. That is a full-on stud. I mean, maybe if the Orioles want to put themselves over the top and they're going to offer you a couple of their truly high-end positional prospects who are blocked, sometimes double blocked, then we can talk. But my goodness, Garrett Crochet, I mean, did you see the way that Jaron Duran talked about him yesterday after the way that Willy Adames talked about him last week? I mean, this is a full-on stud. That dude is an effing stud, said Duran. Crochet is monstrous. I know the health is a concern, but that's your first-round pick that you have now allowed to grow and establish himself. Goodness, I wouldn't deal that. Luis Robert, I would go ahead and trade. I need to admit that I was wrong in fighting with those who brought it up in the offseason, because I looked at it and I thought, man, you know, he's got this year and next year and then the two club option years at 20 mil per, but you're far away, and that dude has already shown you how hurt he's going to get, just how often he's going to get hurt. And I don't believe that even a five-tool center field stud like that is as valuable to you as a front-of-the-rotation ace. There's nothing more valuable than a front-of-the-rotation ace. But a five-tool stud center fielder who gets hurt as much as Robert does, let him get hurt the next three or four times somewhere else. He missed 36% of his games from 2021 through 2023. 36% of the games. He's been on the 60-day injured list already. He's big and thick and strong, and those soft tissue injuries are going to keep coming. I truly believe they're going to keep coming. I mean, maybe the next place will convince him to lose some of that musculature, and maybe they'll know something about changing the physiology to avoid some of these injuries, but Lord knows you don't as an organization, and it's not working. You've got the hip. You got the knee and the quad from last year. There was a calf and a hip last year. There was a hamstring last year. In 2022, there was the wrist and the hand and the wrist and a hip and an illness and a hand. I mean, there's just been so, so many. This will affect his trade value, yes, but just that 15 mil next year is a bargain for a player of his skills. And then the two club options at 20 may seem like a bargain to the new team as well. Let it happen somewhere else and load up as best you can with a variety of position player prospects. You want to get a lottery card or a scratch off of a young pitcher or two, that's fine. But load up on some positional prospects for Luis Robert. I would go ahead and make that deal, and I have to admit that I was wrong to stand against it in the offseason. 312-644-6767. Let's go to the phone lines. Owen and Willowbrook, you start us off this hour on Hit and Run. Good morning, Owen.
Hi, Spiggs. I'm in total agreement with you. You know, Roberts is hurt all the time, and he's not going to make a difference on this team anyhow. And if you can load up on prospects like that, I think it would be the move. As far as Crochet, he's already been through the injury bug, and the Sox have already gone through. He's only 24.
Yep.
You know what? And I was against the trade with Sale. And I don't think you trade you don't trade number ones with kind of stuff like him. I mean, Frank Thomas came out and said he sat behind home plate and he saw Crochet's stuff. He goes, it was incredible.
Yeah.
You don't trade guys like that. You know, I mean, it's just I think it would be a mistake. I think we lost the Sale trade. And one last point, I don't want to try to, judge a whole country, but look what our Cuban players have gone through as far as injuries. They only play an 80-game schedule in Cuba. You know, we did well. Well, seriously, we did well
uh-huh.
in the COVID year. when we had a shortened season with them.
that's true. That was also the life cycle of the team. Yeah, it's an interesting point. I think there's something about the physiology of those guys that has not been dealt with from the White Sox perspective, but it's incredibly difficult. I find myself fascinated with what Christian Watson, the Green Bay Packers wide receiver, is doing with the University of Wisconsin as people are trying to like figure out hamstrings and soft tissues and stuff like that. I know that Eloy has come into camp a couple different times, slimmed down and ready to go in a different way. Maybe his body is just prone. I'm not exactly sure what it is. But appreciate the call. LaCroche has two more years of arbitration protection, ARB 2 and ARB 3. He's not an unrestricted free agent until 2027. As you say, his Tommy John surgery is out of the way, and you hope there's not another. I mean, it does happen with two, but this is a dude with incredible stuff who has now learned to pitch, and there's nothing more valuable. And I would not trade that man. But Robert, I'm okay with that. Texters getting in. Here's one. Spiegs, why didn't the Cubs take Crochet instead of Madrigal in that trade? Isn't that on Hoyer? I never heard that Crochet was available in that trade. You're talking about Cody Hoyer and Nick Madrigal in the Kimbrel trade? No, Crochet was not an option there.
And I think Crochet might have been hurt at that point, too, because he didn't get hurt like a month into his season.
That would be news to me if that indeed was an option. I've never heard that was an option. Here's one. There's not enough trips around the sun to not enjoy baseball, says a texter. Don't let it make or break your summer, but never take it for granted. Cheers, Speaks. Love the show. Go Sox. It's just, you gotta enjoy it. I hope like hell White Sox fans were enjoying that yesterday. Cub fans, you had some moments, just a couple. Oh, I know it's grim. Spike is in South Bend on the Score. Good morning, Spike. How are you?
Great, Speaks. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, hypothetical trade here. If we can get Alonzo, rank him to 1 to 3, who you would give up? Suzuki, Morel, or Hap? Thank you.
Yeah, none. Because Alonzo's a rental, and you're not going to give up any of those in order to try and do something. You're trying to add the Alonzo home runs to all of those guys. So you're not going to give up any of those. The better question might be, James Triantos or
Owen Casey, possibly.
I know
you love him.
No Casey and no Shaw.
I wouldn't move those guys either. Horton, obviously, no go.
Horton, obviously, no go and hurt. But you go lower down the list, and you might have to do a couple to get Alonzo. And Alonzo can play a decent enough first where he plays out there. I wish J.D. Martinez could play first these days.
That's a bad.
Because that would be a cheap ad. Man, I advocated for him hardcore in the offseason.
You wanted him as the DH.
He can still rake. He can absolutely still rake. You know, it's interesting. Michael Busch it might be a guy who plays some third base. He's played third base before. He's played a lot of second base in the minors. Has Michael Busch. Dodgers were thinking of him as a Max Muncy sort of positional versatility guy. If Michael Busch is going to stay here and they go get a first baseman, then you'll find other spots for Michael Busch. It's an uninspiring mix right now on the big league level. And Jed Hoyer is in a spot where he's yet to deliver a winner, yet to deliver a playoff team of his own. And this was certainly supposed to be the year. There will be some desperation in the coming month to 6 weeks. I'm very intrigued by Casey and Shaw being here. The tricky thing about Shaw, who I'd love to see up here as a hitter, is that, does that mean no wisdom? Does it mean wisdom as your righty first base option? And Morel would have to be a backup at second base, something like that. And Morel doing some DHing and Shaw to play third. Casey, they've been working out at first base a bit. How much has Casey played at first down in the minors? He played a little. It's a corner
like
outfielder.
10 games, something like that. And yeah. Not a ton. He kind of works there every other day.
Mm-hmm. And a quarter outfielder for the most part, Casey. But like, I mean, those are the inside levers, and as we mentioned, possibly B.J. Murray to pull. And then you got some trade options. And I don't, you know, it's interesting because John Paul Morosi was on with Parkins and Spiegel earlier in the week and was talking about what they could possibly do. You know, and he mentioned the idea of like a thread the needle trade, something where you go forwards and backwards at the same time. And maybe in that regard, you do lose something off the major league roster, but it's not going to be Suzuki. It's not going to be happen. I don't think it's going to be Morel either. That bat is just too electric. This is Ron on the South Side on 670 The Score. Hello, Ron. How are you?
ASB, I agree with you 100% on both your positions. I really wouldn't want to trade Croce. Now, if Baltimore talks to him, you know, they were unwilling to give up some of those position players, speak, but I think Baltimore realizes that Yankee team is very tough and they may go they need a pitcher. So I would accept that. It would be hard, but I talked to Bruce and Mike yesterday, and the first thing I mentioned to them, you got to trade Luis Robert. And Speed, here's the thing. The longer he plays to me, the less value. And Bruce mentioned it that they might ask him nationally, you know, what's the kind of feel? And that's what it is, Speed, that he's just injured. Now, lastly, Bruce said, well, the team has to have, you know, some player that you can kind of want to gather around and support. But it's not him. Speed, I don't care what you do in any walk of life, how good you are, you could be the best if you are not dependable. So, no, I just don't feel that groundswell of support from the fan. You need to hope that that occurs with Colson Montgomery. See with Brian Reynolds. You have those pitches, but they have to get some position player. The White Sox, those they are horrible. So yeah, they need to trade him because, like I said, long as he plays, his value is going down. Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm on the go ahead and trade Luis Robert if you can, and do not trade Garrett Croce. But we'll see what they do. We'll see just how backwards they are willing to go. Let's take one more call on this before we shift gears. This is Chip in Macomb, who's on 670 The Score. Good morning, Chip. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. Hey, I want to take the contrarian view on this because I would not move Robert right now. I agree with you on Croce, but I think it helps to have a good, you know, frontline pitcher like that. But I need a guy, an offensive player like Robert, who you do not have anywhere near the talent of in your farm system whatsoever. And I agree with you. I don't know if you're going to get a return that's going to bring any type of talent like that. Yes, he's got the injury problem. But I make it akin to, like, Mike Trout. Trout's, you know, he's outstanding. He is injury plagued. But you've got to have something that you can also build around as an everyday ball player. And I think with Robert's abilities, I mean, second in the Rookie of the Year. He's got a Gold Glove already. Uh-huh. I mean, the guy's got the talent to be an MVP player. I know that he has the injury history, but if that's what's going to, you know, worry you every year, you could say that about a bunch of other guys. And I still think even he at 80% is going to be better than anything you get to replace him.
Chip, though, Chip, with the Mike Trout comp, would you like to tell me the last time the Angels made the playoffs?
Sir? Oh, no, I agree with you. I agree. But from the White Sox, from a business standpoint, you also have to have some sort of drawing card.
Well, that's the dangerous thought. Do they draw less if they trade Luis Robert? Barely. I mean, they're not drawing a lot right now. It's tough. They're bad. They're not going to draw this year. If you trade Luis Robert, you can get a little better, a little quicker, depending on the level of the people that you get back, the minor league readiness of the people that you get back. It's a weird thing because the Cubs are void of superstar talent. They are void. And this front office has decided not to value the acquisition of said superstar talent. They did pay a lot for Dansby Swanson, but that is a very good, extremely fundamentally sound, solid leader, complementary player. It's a complementary player. And you love paying that for Dansby Swanson if you also have Ronald Acuna Jr. and Austin Riley and Matt Olson and Michael Harris and others on your roster. But when that's the centerpiece, then you can kind of look like this. And you can't have that. Look, the Angels have made the playoffs once since 2009. You know what started in 2009? The Danny Mac Show on 670 The Score. I was the in the Danny Mac Show. Some people thought I was the show in the Danny Mac Show, but whatever.
Oh, see, that's what I thought.
Yeah, see, but then it became Mac and Spiegs and Spiegs and Manley and then Spiegel and Goff and then, I mean, everything. And everywhere that we've ever been. Once they've made the playoffs since 2009, and that was a 3-0 series sweep in 2014. That's Mike Trout's lot in life and the Angels fans' lot in life. Don't give me that as a possible comp. Top of the hour, we talk Red Sox and White Sox with the Red Sox play-by-play man, Will Fleming. Really crazy play in their game on Friday night as well that I want to talk about. We come back, though. Let's go ahead and play the thing that has made something that seemed obvious to me even more obvious. We'll do that when we come back, and we'll continue to take your phone calls on all things Cubs and Sox. By the way, there seems to be a World Series preview, at least a possible one, going on right now. We'll discuss that. Team of the Moment coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Chip Carey as well. Eno Saris in the 11 o'clock hour. Keep it right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Judge launches this ball over Taylor's head, and off the top of the wall, it's a home run! 22nd to lead the big leagues and tie this game at 2.
Well, he pitched him so perfect until that pitch, and that's all it takes for Aaron Judge, as big and as strong as he is, to get one up in the zone. The first three pitches were all in tight outside corner and down. He'll hit him a lot farther than that, but he'll take any one he gets.
There's a high drive off of the bat of Judge, right center field, for his second home run tonight. 23rd of the season to lead the big leagues.
Big, strong, and connected right now.
Aaron Judge with two big home runs, but he was not the story. The story was instead Teoscar Hernandez for the Dodgers, as they had a massive fan contingent in attendance at Yankee Stadium. More on that in a second. Teoscar with a solo home run, 6 RBIs because he got 4 more on this swing.
Hernandez lifts a fly ball to left center field. Back goes Verdugo, running out of room. Goodbye! Grand slam, Teoscar Hernandez. Owning center stage in New York this weekend.
And sending a lot of Yankee faithful to the exits. That is sitting on a changeup or getting a changeup and delivering, as you mentioned, at the right time.
Teoscar Hernandez with 6 RBIs. He is one of those extra dudes they signed just for fun, just to pile on, because it's not enough to have Mookie and Ohtani and Freeman 1-2-3, and then to have Will Smith hitting 4. Got to add in Teoscar Hernandez. So when Max Muncy gets hurt, you're still fine. You're totally okay. Tonight, Tyler Glass now goes for the Dodgers. His last 5 starts against the Yankees, obviously when he was at Tampa Bay, he's 4-0 with a 1.45 ERA. Glass now has owned the Yankees. Leads the majors in strikeouts right now, just 1 ahead of Garrett Crochet. So that'll be the Sunday night game and ought to be a fun one. You got that and an NBA Finals game 2 on the docket this evening. And look, is that the World Series matchup? They've met 11 times in the World Series. 8 times when the Dodgers were in Brooklyn. 3 times after that, but none since 1981. Maybe this is the year where the long-awaited rematch between those two teams, who have met the most of any two teams in the history of the World Series, will do it again. That would be fun, assuming it's not the 4th place Chicago Cubs. Sorry, man. It's true. Don't look at me like that. Look, I'm trying to be positive. I've tried all morning long. It's just not taking.
So tired
of you bad-mouthing my team.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that. We'll deal with it. We'll deal with it at home. We'll talk. All right. Look, I need to comment on this because this is something that has been obvious for a long time to me. In fact, the day that the hiring of the White Sox play-by-play man, John Schifrin, was made public, I mentioned that it seems to be hearkening back to Hawk Harrelson, sort of a non-traditional play-by-play profile in terms of somebody who's very passionate, over-the-top homerism, and we have seen it play out with, you know, very explosive emotion that some people love, which is totally cool. A lot of going after the umpires, which is very passionate and some people love. And then all sorts of other stuff. And Lord knows there's been plenty to comment on. And we have. But here from yesterday, they're up 5-1 already. And it's kind of a random home run for this to happen. But here is straight up homage.
Paul DeYoung goes back to left. You can't put it on the board. Yes. Second home run of the game for the White Sox as Paul DeYoung, his 11th of the season, leading this squad, a 6-1 lead.
Kind of a random home run to do it on, don't you think?
That was pretty weird.
It's just, it's a little odd, but that's, I mean, supposedly, according to folks who have spoken to him, he had Hawk's permission to do that. He had spoken to Hawk and gotten permission to do that. And that's cool. It's, I don't understand the why. I don't understand the why and the when, even a little. Maybe because it's a win. And he's feeling good. They're feeling good. Like a lot of times when a broadcaster does that kind of thing, there's an homage. Like if you adored a certain broadcaster your whole life and then you get a job, maybe your first call or two or something is an homage. I know that to have happened. Wayne Randazzo did an homage call for John Sterling after John Sterling had announced his retirement suddenly. It is high. It is far. He did that. Wayne's actually done that a couple times, and there's been like a point. There's been a reason to it. This seems sort of a little bit random, but man, that guy, John, is going viral more than any broadcaster I've seen in a long, long time. Twice yesterday, apparently, with the Maldonado thing we played earlier and with this. Modern fame is measured by being known, and it doesn't really matter if it's for good things or bad things. And how people necessarily feel about it. It is clicks. And John is part of the algorithm now for awful announcing, for other things, and it's going to go viral. And I can only assume that he loves it, and I hope the White Sox love it. There's certainly a lot of negatives with it sometimes, but there's obviously a lot of positives for people knowing your broadcaster. I thought it was, I mean, it made me wonder if Hawk was in trouble health-wise. Like, I just don't get the why. But if he had the permission for it, then it certainly feels more like homage than it does a steal. Doesn't bother me at all in terms of, was that a steal? Nah, I don't know. It was homage. And it's modern fame in action. 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel here with you. Eno Saris later on. You'll hear from Chip Carey later on. Tons more Cubs, tons more Sox. Let's talk some Red Sox and White Sox next with Will Fleming, the play-by-play man, on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Lumberyard makes loading up on big savings easy. Plus, get free estimates fast using our deck and fence design programs in store or on Menards.com. Start planning your outdoor lumber projects today at Menards and save big money.
Save big money at Menards.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station. The Score!
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
He hits it right out to right. A grand slam. Gavin Sheets, my man. He blows it open here in the fifth inning, clearing the bases as the Sox take a 5-1 lead in the fifth. Bases juice, two outs. Swinging! Ball game! And the White Sox win it 6-1. They've won 2 of 3 from the Red Sox. And the fourth game in this series will be tomorrow.
Friedl drives one in the air, deep right field. It's going to leave the yard. A 2-run homer for Friedl. And the Reds have taken a 3-1 lead. Ground ball to first, fielded by Steer, unassisted play, ball game is over. Tauchman bounces out. Swanson was running with the pitch. Tauchman kind of got jammed. Hit a ground ball to first, routine play for Spencer Steer. He just stepped on the bag. And that is the end of the ball game, and the Reds have won 3 in a row in this series.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Ba-ba, sing it, ba-da-ba-ba, ba-ba, ba-da-ba-ba, you know you want to. It's all right. You know why? Because it's early. It's early. It is the 9th of June. It's 9 in the morning. It's going to be a beautiful day. A wonderful day. I refuse to give in to the opportunity that baseball negativity provides. I'm not going to do it. You can try all morning long. You can try to greet me with certain, I don't know what you'd call them, realities. Whatever. It's a lovely, lovely day. We have interesting baseball teams, and I listened to two different radio calls yesterday. Do you know how blessed we are with incredible radio booths? My goodness. Darren Jackson and Len Casper sounding absolutely amazing yesterday. Was with them for the bulk of that enormous inning, highlighted by the Gavin Sheets Grand Slam, as the White Sox have won 2 in a row. White Sox have won 2 in a row. The bats showed up yesterday. Garrett Crochet was absolutely brilliant the other night. Eric Fetty was on the radio station on Friday. Good vibes, babe. Okay? I mean, there's so many things that are worthwhile and interesting about even the Cubs. Sean, don't tell me the Cubs are in fourth place. Don't share that with me. Don't make me look at the standings and see that they're in fourth place in the National League Central with a run differential of minus 16, that they've lost 3 in a row. What, that it's now, how many have they lost to the Reds? They've lost 5 out of 6 to the Reds?
That's correct.
That's fine. Everything's okay. It's early, man. It is early. Plus, nobody's been hit on the hand in at least one day.
Hey, look at that. It's up on the board.
So Michael Bush wasn't hit on the hand, and then he goes in there?
I don't know.
But Nico, they didn't think he was hit on the hand, but then he was hit on the hand, and now he's got a fractured hand. Our guy, man, he's going to be on the injured list. Or not, apparently. It's a very odd thing. Look, Sean, fine. Let's hear Craig Counsell talking about Seiya Suzuki and Nico Horner on the injured list, possibly, or at least an update on those two guys.
Seiya's just kind of day-to-day. He's just sore today. I think pretty optimistic that he'll be back in a day or two here, and possibly even usable today. And then Nico has a small fracture in his in the metacarpal. We've had a, got a couple doctors' opinions, and both are comfortable with him continuing to play when the pain and swelling subsides. So I think right now we have some question whether that's kind of at in a 10-day mark or whether, you know, we just kind of play this day by day.
All right. So day by day for Nico, he can't make it worse. Saya might be back in a day or two. All right, let's see. What can I lean on for positivity here? That caller last week was good. There was a caller last week who really, you know, tried to tell me that it's a long season. And I need to lean on that wisdom, I think.
Oh. So tired of you bad-mouthing my team.
Yeah, she was tired of me bad-mouthing her team. I understand. I would also be tired of that. Look, it's okay. Here's what happened yesterday: Ben Brown and Jordan Wicks, they piggybacked. Did you guys see that? Ben Brown went 4, Jordan Wicks went 3 1/3. I've been wanting that kind of creativity from the manager, from the big time manager. Been wanting that kind of stuff. Where's the creativity been and doing some of that stuff? We've only seen the opener like once. And only a little bit of a bullpen game. Now they got some extra starters here. So Ben Brown and Jordan Wicks with the piggyback. I like it. Yeah, the problem is the offense, people. The problem is the Cubs' offense. It's too bad because I was right there. I was in the positivity of the piggyback, which I thought was just fine. I mean, he gave up 4 runs. He should be able to score 5. Theoretically, one would assume that you can do that kind of thing. But no, I mean, last 30 days, the Cubs offense is 27th out of 30 with an OPS of 642. Is that too negative?
Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
We're going to get there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. She thinks we're going to get there. That would be nice. It's getting harder and harder to believe, isn't it? It really is. Because there's a lot of issues piling up. There's issues in all directions. But I can do it, man. I can live in the positivity. I can live in the good vibes, babe. There's an off day tomorrow. It's an off day for the Cubs tomorrow. They will not lose tomorrow. Today, we'll see what the lineups are when Shota Imanaga goes against. Is it Lodolo again today? Is that how it works out here?
I believe it's Frankie Montas.
Oh, it's today. Frankie Montas today. Okay, good. The one-time White Sox prospect, Frankie Montas. No, I need to go to the White Sox for positivity.
Hell yeah.
That's right. This yesterday with the big offensive explosion and Crochet the other night, there's even a lovely little tongue-in-cheek campaign, which is kind of fun, about Martin Maldonado to the All-Star game. In fact, the broadcast mentioned it yesterday.
As that movement to vote Martin Maldonado to become a starting catcher into the All-Star game continues to pick up steam.
I think we're going to need that whole steam engine to get there, though, but it's a good thought. I want to see everybody vote as many times as they can for the White Sox.
It's a bit, John. It's a bit. He talked about the defense of Martin Maldonado and how that was impressive. The online campaign that the guys over at Sox Machine, I think it's Patrick Nolan, it's P. Knowles who started it. It is a bit. It is a tongue-in-cheek all-star nomination to thumb the nose at ownership and Chris Getz for fielding a team that is quite this bad. And sadly, somehow the broadcast didn't get that. All right,
I love inside jokes. Love to be a part of one someday.
Oh, man. That's my fault. That's my fault. I drifted again. I drifted over towards the negativity. Bring me back.
Enjoy the journey.
Thank you.
Enjoy the ride.
It is indeed a journey and a ride. As I mentioned, I was with the radio calls for both the White Sox and the Cubs yesterday. There was a great rally that was super fun in the Cubs' eighth inning. And you heard the Hall of Fame broadcaster, the king himself, you heard Pat Hughes rise to the moment as he realized, yeah, boy, this team has been bad. And you could hear it in the way that he and Ron Coomer and Zach Zabin talked through the games. This team has been rough. It's been awkward. It's been problematic. But it's baseball, so things can happen. All of a sudden, Bodie is on, and then there's a double, and his men at second and third. And here comes Pete Crow Armstrong to pinch hit, and Pat is vividly telling us what's going on. David Bodie cheering for PCA from third base, trying to get him going. And it's like anything can be possible, and I felt this wonderful emotional swing from Pat as the Cubs had an absolute chance, and they scored one run and ended the eighth down 4-3. And then another rally in the ninth, and Pat's voice rose, and the emotional journey was there, and things were starting to come together. And then, unfortunately, that one fell short on a fly ball, and then the Cubs lost, and now it's 5 out of 6 to the Cincinnati Reds, and they're in fourth place in the division. And a lot of you are in a spot where you're feeling like you were sold a bill of goods. I've heard it constantly. I have seen it. That you were sold a bill of goods, that you were told that the team was good enough and that the manager was going to put them over the hump. And that is not what has happened. And you're left wondering whether the team is good enough or not. And they feel, the whole thing feels a little no man's landish, if you will, because there are good prospects, but some of them are not ready to come up. You do have a representative MLB payroll, so it's not like you can add a huge pile here at the deadline. Some more money will be coming off the books at the end of the year, so maybe you'll do some in free agency. But what about this season when you were told it was absolutely a go-for-it contention season? And some sad and difficult truths have been revealed, you know, is what it seems like. But it is early. It is early. Look, Cody Bellinger with a couple of hits yesterday, that dude still has terrific bat control. Maybe you're not going to get as much pop as you got last year, as teams know to fire heat at the man because it's hard to turn that around. But he uses the bat control and gets line drive after line drive after line drive. And I'm cool with that. Ian Happ has resurfaced after a terrible start that went on for a long time. Deep fly balls every once in a while, full-on homers, obviously, in recent weeks. I think he looks pretty darn good at the plate overall. Dansby Swanson had 3 hits yesterday. And one of our guests later on, Eno Saris from The Athletic, says that Dansby is one of those guys who should not change his approach. He wrote about 5 different people in baseball who are struggling, but should not change the way they're going about their business. We'll talk about that with Eno. Seiya Suzuki, his superstardom is theoretical. And it's been expected that he would be the Cubs' best player, but it just hasn't shown up. It just has not shown up with frequency. Yan Gomes is hitting the ball very well now, all of a sudden, making a lot of good contact. Big double yesterday to drive in a run. But Miguel Amaya still plays a lot, and we're still waiting on him to do something offensively. It is tough. All these side indicators last year said the Cubs were better than their record was, that they were better than their production was. That's the stuff that the front office read, that a lot of us saw, that a lot of us believed in. And I can't write the book on this thing. You may find my positivity to be tongue-in-cheek, but really, it is early. Look at the last 2 Phillies seasons when they turned everything around, either in the middle of June or late June. Obviously, you can go back 3 years and look at when the Braves won the World Series and how they were under 500 at the break. They were under 500 at the end of July. Things do turn around. Some of the players that have been bad are not this bad. Some of them are. They're going to need to make some moves aggressively with the minors. And we'll see who that is, especially if Nico's hurt. Maybe it's Luis Vasquez to play defense. It's not going to be Nick Madrigal because he got hit in the hand this
fractured
week.
Fractured his hand too. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, 3 different times Cubs have been hit in the hands. Well, 2 if you think Michael Bush was faking it yesterday. But maybe it's going to be B.J. Murray. Not hitting a ton, but did have a walk-off. Is super interesting as a profile. And is, you know, certainly would give a jolt. But maybe it's going to be Matt Shaw. Maybe it's going to be Owen Casey. I don't know. It's got to be somebody, and it's got to be somebody pretty soon. And they will make a deal at the deadline as well. There could be some bullpen pieces coming up. It is early, and it sucks the way it feels right now. But the baseball gods will mess with you in a good way and a bad way, too. And I'm not ready to write the book. Top of the hour, Will Fleming will join us. He's the Red Sox play-by-play man on radio station WEEI. He's going to come by in studio, as a matter of fact, on his way to the ballpark. We'll talk about Red Sox and White Sox with Will. And we will talk to Eno Saris in the 11 o'clock hour. A truly great portion of an interview with Chip Carey that I did on the PBP, Voices of Baseball. Stuff about his dad, stuff about his grandfather in advance of Father's Day. Thought we'd play it this week because we've got a short show next week. Just a two-hour show as the Cubs play early next week. Right now, we throw open the phone lines to you. The Cub fan, are you going to help me fend off as I stand here at the edge of negativity? You're going to help me or not? And you, the White Sox fan, you're going to live in this positive moment. Two wins in a row. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. The broadcast is not completed without your participation. So hop on in and join us on the Score Listener Line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. One other item before we break. Congratulations to the Chicago Red Stars and the fans of the Red Stars who took over Wrigley Field yesterday, presented by Gallagher, and sold it out. 35,000 fans at Wrigley for the Red Stars game, for the other Swanson, and they officially broke the NWSL attendance record.
That's, it was wild in Wrigleyville. I thought the Cubs were at home for a second. It was really busy down there.
That is pretty damn cool. So congrats to the Red Stars and everyone involved with that. That is pretty cool. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. It speaks with you here on Hit and Run. Also, when we come back, I have an admission and a reversal on a White Sox trade target. Time to talk about that as well. Keep it right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Oh. So tired of you bad-mouthing my team.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
2-1 the count on Luis Robert Jr. Well hit, straightaway center. Durant going back, looking up. It is gone! Luis Robert Jr. with the fireworks here in the first inning. His fourth of the year. And the White Sox get on the board first, 1-0.
Luis Robert Jr. is back and playing and hitting bombs for the White Sox. It is Hit and Run. With me, Matt Spiegel, here with you on a Sunday morning. Phone lines are open if you want to hop in and deal with where we are with these baseball teams. Trade deadline pending at the end of July. We're a little less than 8 weeks. I guess we're about 7 weeks and a couple of days from the trade deadline. Plenty of time for things to crystallize, but also opportunities to go out and be a little aggressive on the early side. Luis Arraez, a grab by the Padres, looking like he has a very good shot of going out and winning what would be, what, a third batting title in a row? Would be absolutely unbelievable. They are very much rumored to be in on Garrett Crochet. A lot of teams asking about Garrett Crochet, apparently, from the White Sox. I've been on record and will stay on record. I don't like the idea of trading Garrett Crochet. You have an ace. Folks, that's an ace. And I'd be shocked if you get value of consequence, certainly from San Diego, a farm system you've already picked clean, that others have picked clean already. That is a full-on stud. I mean, maybe if the Orioles want to put themselves over the top and they're going to offer you a couple of their truly high-end positional prospects who are blocked, sometimes double blocked, then we can talk. But my goodness, Garrett Crochet. I mean, see the way that Jaren Duran talked about him yesterday after the way that Willy Adames talked about him last week? I mean, this is a full-on stud. That dude is an effing stud, said Duran. Crochet is monstrous. I know the health is a concern, but that's your first round pick that you have now allowed to grow and establish himself. Goodness, I wouldn't deal that. Luis Robert, I would go ahead and trade. I need to admit that I was wrong in fighting with those who brought it up in the offseason. Because I looked at it and I thought, man, you know, he's got this year and next year and then the two club option years at 20 mil per. But you're far away, and that dude has already shown you how hurt he's going to get. Just how often he's going to get hurt. And I don't believe that even a five-tool center field stud like that is as valuable to you as a front-of-the-rotation ace. There's nothing more valuable than a front-of-the-rotation ace. But a five-tool stud center fielder who gets hurt as much as Robert does, let him get hurt the next three or four times somewhere else. He missed 36% of his games from 2021 through 2023. 36% of the games. He's been on the 60-day injured list already. He's big and thick and strong, and those soft tissue injuries are going to keep coming. I truly believe they're going to keep coming. I mean, maybe the next place will convince him to lose some of that musculature, and maybe they'll know something about changing the physiology to avoid some of these injuries, but Lord knows you don't as an organization, and it's not working. You've got the hip, you got the knee and the quad from last year. There was a calf and a hip last year. There was a hamstring last year. In 2022, there was the wrist and the hand and the wrist and a hip and an illness and a hand. I mean, there's just been so, so many. This will affect his trade value, yes, but just that 15 mil next year is a bargain for a player of his skills. And then the two club options at 20 may seem like a bargain to the new team as well. Let it happen somewhere else and load up as best you can with a variety of position player prospects. You want to get a lottery card or a scratch off of a young pitcher or two, that's fine. But load up on some positional prospects for Luis Robert. I would go ahead and make that deal, and I have to admit that I was wrong to stand against it in the offseason. 312-644-6767. Let's go to the phone lines. Owen and Willowbrook, you start us off this hour on Hit and Run. Good morning, Owen.
Hi, Spiggs. I'm in total agreement with you. You know, Roberts is hurt all the time, and he's not going to make a difference on this team anyhow. And if you can load up on prospects like that, I think it would be the move. As far as Crochet, he's already been through the injury bug, and the Sox have already gone through. He's only 24.
Yep.
You know what? And I was against the trade with Sale. And I don't think you trade you don't trade number ones with kind of stuff like him. I mean, Frank Thomas came out and said he sat and saw – he sat behind home plate and he saw Crochet's stuff. He goes, it was incredible.
Yeah.
You don't trade guys like that. You know, I mean, it's just I think it would be a mistake. I think we lost the Sale trade. And one last point, I don't want to try to, judge a whole country, but look what our Cuban players have gone through as far as injuries. They only play an 80-game schedule in Cuba. You know, we did well. Well, seriously, we did well in the COVID year when we had a shortened season with them.
that's true. That was also the life cycle of the team. You know, it's an interesting point. I think there's something about the physiology of those guys that has not been dealt with from the White Sox perspective, but it's incredibly difficult. I find myself fascinated with what Christian Watson, the Green Bay Packers wide receiver, is doing with the University of Wisconsin as people are trying to like figure out hamstrings and soft tissues and stuff like that. I know that Eloy has come into camp a couple different times, slimmed down and ready to go in a different way. But maybe his body is just prone. I'm not exactly sure what it is. but appreciate the call. LaCrochet has 2 more years of arbitration protection, ARB 2 and ARB 3. He's not an unrestricted free agent until 2027. As you say, his Tommy John surgery is out of the way, and you hope there's not another. I mean, it does happen with 2, but this is a dude with incredible stuff who has now learned to pitch, and there's nothing more valuable. And I would not trade that man. But Robert, I'm okay with that. Texters getting in. Here's one. Speaks, why didn't the Cubs take Crochet instead of Madrigal in that trade? Isn't that on Hoyer? I never heard that Crochet was available in that trade. You're talking about Cody Hoyer and Nick Madrigal in the Kimbrel trade. Crochet was not an option there.
And I think Crochet might have been hurt at that point, too, because then you get hurt like a month into his season.
That would be news to me if that indeed was an option. I've never heard that that was an option. Here's one. There's not enough trips around the sun to not enjoy baseball, says a texter. Don't let it make or break your summer, but never take it for granted. Cheers, Speaks. Love the show. Go Sox. It's just, you gotta enjoy it. I hope like hell White Sox fans were enjoying that yesterday. Cub fans, you had some moments, just a couple. I know it's grim. Spike is in South Bend on the score. Good morning, Spike. How are you?
Great, Speaks. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, hypothetical trade here. If we can get Alonzo, rank him to 1 to 3, who you would give up? Suzuki, Morel, or Hap? Thank you.
Yeah, none. Because Alonzo's a rental, and you're not going to give up any of those in order to try and do something. You're trying to add the Alonzo home runs to all of those guys. So you're not going to give up any of those. The better question might be James Triantos or
Owen Casey, possibly?
I know
you love him.
No Casey and no Shaw.
I wouldn't move those guys either. Horton, obviously, no go.
Horton, obviously, no go and hurt. But you go lower down the list, and you might have to do a couple to get Alonzo. And Alonzo can play a decent enough first where he plays out there. I wish J.D. Martinez could play first these days.
That's a bad.
Because that would be a cheap ad. Man, I advocated for him hardcore in the offseason.
You wanted him as the DH.
He can still rake. He can absolutely still rake. You know, it's interesting. Michael Busch it might be a guy who plays some third base. He's played third base before. He's played a lot of second base in the minors, has Michael Busch. Dodgers were thinking of him as a Max Muncy sort of positional versatility guy. If Michael Busch is going to stay here and they go get a first baseman, then you'll find other spots for Michael Busch. It's an uninspiring mix right now on the big league level. And Jed Hoyer is in a spot where he's yet to deliver a winner, yet to deliver a playoff team of his own. And this was certainly supposed to be the year. There will be some desperation in the coming month to 6 weeks. I'm very intrigued by Casey and Shaw being here. The tricky thing about Shaw, who I'd love to see up here as a hitter, is that, does that mean no Wisdom? Does it mean Wisdom as your righty first base option? And Morel would have to be a backup at second base? Something like that? And Morel doing some DHing and Shaw to play third? Casey, they've been working out at first base a bit. How much has Casey played at first down in the minors? He played a little. It's a corner
like
outfielder.
10 games, something like that. And yeah. Not a ton. He kind of works there every other day.
Mm-hmm. And a quarter outfielder for the most part, Casey. But like, I mean, those are the inside levers. And as we mentioned, possibly BJ Murray to pull. And then you got some trade options. And I don't, you know, it's interesting because John Paul Morosi was on with Parkins and Spiegel earlier in the week and was talking about what they could possibly do, you know, and he mentioned the idea of like a thread the needle trade, something where you go forwards and backwards at the same time. And maybe in that regard, you do lose something off the major league roster, but it's not going to be Suzuki. It's not going to be happen. I don't think it's going to be Morel either. That bat is just too electric. This is Ron on the South Side on 670 The Score. Hello, Ron. How are you?
Hey, Speedy. I agree with you 100% on both your positions. I really wouldn't want to trade Crochet. Now, if Baltimore talks to them, you know, they were unwilling to give up some of those position players, but I think Baltimore realizes that Yankee team is very tough, and they may need a pitcher. So I would accept that. It would be hard, but I talked to Bruce and Mike yesterday, and the first thing I mentioned to them, you got to trade Luis Robert. And Speed, here's the thing. The longer he plays to me, the less value. And Bruce mentioned it, that they might ask him nationally, you know, what's the kind of feel? And that's what it is, Speed, that he's just injured. Now, lastly, Bruce said, well, the team has to have, you know, some player that you can kind of want to gather around and support. But it's not him. Speed, I don't care what you do in any walk of life, how good you are, you could be the best if you are not dependable. So, no, I just don't feel that groundswell of support from the fans. You need to hope that that occurs with Colson Montgomery. See with Brian Reynolds. You have those pitches, but they have to get some position player, the White Sox. Those, they are horrible. So, yeah, they need to trade him because, like I said, long as he plays, his value is going down. Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm on the go ahead and trade Luis Robert if you can, and do not trade Garrett Crochet. But we'll see what they do. We'll see just how backwards they are willing to go. Let's take one more call on this before we shift gears. This is Chip in Macomb, who's on 670 The Score. Good morning, Chip. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. Hey, I want to take the contrarian view on this because I would not move Robert right now. I agree with you on Crochet, but I think it helps to have a good, you know, frontline pitcher like that. But I need a guy, an offensive player like Robert, who you do not have anywhere near the talent of in your farm system whatsoever. And I agree with you. I don't know if you're going to get a return that's going to bring any type of talent like that. Yes, he's got the injury problem, but I make it akin to like Mike Trout. Trout's, you know, he's outstanding. He is injury plagued, but you've got to have something that you can also build around as an everyday ball player. And I think with Robert's abilities, I mean, second in the rookie of the year, he's got a gold glove already. Uh-huh. I mean, the guy's got the talent to be an MVP player. I know that he has the injury history, but if that's what's going to, you know, worry you every year, you could say that about a bunch of other guys. And I still think even he at 80% is going to be better than anything you get to replace him.
Chip, though, Chip, with the Mike Trout comp, would you like to tell me the last time the Angels made the playoffs?
Sir? Oh, no, I agree with you. I agree. But you've got from the White Sox, from a business standpoint, you also have to have some sort of drawing card.
Well, that's the dangerous thought. Do they draw less if they trade Luis Robert? Barely. I mean, they're not drawing a lot right now. It's tough. They're bad. They're not going to draw this year. If you trade Luis Robert, you can get a little better, a little quicker, depending on the level of the people that you get back, the minor league readiness of the people that you get back. It's a weird thing because the Cubs are void of superstar talent. They are void. And this front office has decided not to value the acquisition of said superstar talent. They did pay a lot for Dansby Swanson, but that is a very good, extremely fundamentally sound, solid leader, complimentary player. It's a complimentary player. And you love paying that for Dansby Swanson if you also have Ronald Acuna Jr. and Austin Riley and Matt Olson and Michael Harris and others on your roster. But when that's the centerpiece, then you can kind of look like this. And you can't have that. Look, the Angels have made the playoffs once since 2009. You know what started in 2009? The Danny Mac Show on 670 The Score. I was the in the Danny Mac Show. Some people thought I was the show in the Danny Mac Show, but whatever.
Oh, see, that's what I thought.
Yeah, see, but then it became Mac and Speaks and Manley and then Spiegel and Goff and then, I mean, everything. and everywhere that we've ever been. Once they've made the playoffs since 2009, and that was a 3-0 series sweep in 2014. That's Mike Trout's lot in life and the Angels fans' lot in life. Don't give me that as a possible comp. Top of the hour, we talk Red Sox and White Sox with the Red Sox play-by-play man, Will Fleming. Really crazy play in their game on Friday night as well that I want to talk about. We come back, though. Let's go ahead and play the thing that has made something that seemed obvious to me even more obvious. We'll do that when we come back, and we'll continue to take your phone calls on all things Cubs and Sox. By the way, there seems to be a World Series preview, at least a possible one, going on right now. We'll discuss that. Team of the Moment coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Chip Carey as well. Eno Saris in the 11 o'clock hour. Keep it right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Judge launches this ball over Taylor's head, and off the top of the wall, it's a home run. 22nd to lead the big leagues and tie this game at two.
Well, he pitched him so perfect until that pitch, and that's all it takes for Aaron Judge, as big and as strong as he is, to get one up in the zone. The first three pitches were all in tight outside corner and down. He'll hit him a lot farther than that, but he'll take any one he gets.
There's a high drive off of the bat of Judge, right center field for his second home run tonight. 23rd of the season to lead the big leagues.
Big, strong, and connected right now.
Aaron Judge with two big home runs, but he was not the story. The story was instead Teoscar Hernandez. For the Dodgers, as they had a massive fan contingent in attendance at Yankee Stadium. More on that in a second. Teoscar with a solo home run. Six RBIs because he got four more on this swing.
Hernandez lifts a fly ball to left center field. Back goes Verdugo, running out of room. Goodbye! Grand slam, Teoscar Hernandez. Owning center stage in New York this weekend.
And sending a lot of Yankee faithful to the exits. That is sitting on a changeup or getting a changeup and delivering, as you mentioned, at the right time.
Teoscar Hernandez with six RBIs. He is one of those extra dudes they signed just for fun, just to pile on. Because it's not enough to have Mookie and Otani and Freeman 1-2-3 and then to have Will Smith hitting four. Got to add in Teoscar Hernandez. So when Max Muncy gets hurt, you're still fine. You're totally okay. Tonight, Tyler Glasnow goes for the Dodgers. His last five starts against the Yankees, obviously when he was at Tampa Ray, he's 4-0 with a 1.45 ERA. Glasnow has owned the Yankees. Leads the majors in strikeouts right now, just one ahead of Garrett Crochet. So that'll be the Sunday night game and ought to be a fun one. You got that and an NBA Finals game, too, on the docket this evening. And look, is that the World Series matchup? They've met 11 times in the World Series, 8 times when the Dodgers were in Brooklyn, 3 times after that, but none since 1981. Maybe this is the year where the long-awaited rematch between those two teams who have met the most of any two teams in the history of the World Series will do it again. That would be fun, assuming it's not the fourth place Chicago Cubs. Sorry, man. It's true. Don't look at me like that. Look, I'm trying to be positive. I've tried all morning long. It's just not taking.
Oh. Tired of you bad-mouthing my team.
Sorry about that. We'll deal with it at home. We'll talk. All right. Look, I need to comment on this because this is something that has been obvious for a long time to me. In fact, the day that the hiring of the White Sox play-by-play man, John Schifrin, was made public, I mentioned that it seems to be hearkening back to Hawk Harrelson. Sort of a non-traditional play-by-play profile in terms of somebody who's very passionate, over-the-top homerism. And we have seen it play out with, you know, very explosive emotion that some people love, which is totally cool. A lot of going after the umpires, which is very passionate and some people love. And then all sorts of other stuff. And Lord knows there's been plenty to comment on. And we have. But here from yesterday, they're up 5-1 already. And it's kind of a random home run for this to happen. But here is straight up homage.
Paul DeYoung goes back to left. You can put it on the board. Yes. Second home run of the game for the White Sox as Paul DeYoung, his 11th of the season, leading this squad, a 6-1 lead.
It's kind of a random home run to do it on, don't you think?
That was pretty weird.
It's just, it's a little odd, but that's, I mean, supposedly, according to folks who have spoken to him, he had Hawk's permission to do that. He had spoken to Hawk and gotten permission to do that. And that's cool. It's, I don't understand the why. I don't understand the why and the when even a little. Maybe because it's a win and he's feeling good. They're feeling good. Like a lot of times when a broadcaster does that kind of thing, there's an homage. Like if you adored a certain broadcaster your whole life and then you get a job, maybe your first call or two or something is an homage. I know that to have happened. Wayne Randazzo did an homage call for John Sterling after John Sterling had announced his retirement suddenly. It is high. It is far. He did that. Wayne's actually done that a couple times, and there's been like a point. There's been a reason to it. This seems sort of a little bit random, but man, that guy, John, is going viral more than any broadcaster I've seen in a long, long time. Twice yesterday. Apparently, with the Maldonado thing we played earlier and with this, modern fame is measured by being known. And it doesn't really matter if it's for good things or bad things and how people necessarily feel about it. It is clicks. And John is part of the algorithm now for awful announcing, for other things. And it's going to go viral. And I can only assume that he loves it, and I hope the White Sox love it. There's certainly a lot of negatives with it sometimes, but there's obviously a lot of positives for people knowing your broadcaster. I thought it was, I mean, it made me wonder if Hawk was in trouble health-wise. Like, I just don't get the why. But if he had the permission for it, then it certainly feels more like homage than it does a steal. Doesn't bother me at all in terms of, was that a steal? Nah, I don't know. It was homage. And it's modern fame in action. 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel here with you. Eno Saris later on. You'll hear from Chip Carey later on. Tons more Cubs, tons more Sox. Let's talk some Red Sox and White Sox next with Will Fleming, the play-by-play man, on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.